Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified, and obviously this isn't Bo Caldwell. This is Kevin Stege with Baker & Coulson. The tax animal is at the controls today, but not flying solo. We do have Bo, and he's en route, or soon to be en route, to that little event we annually call the Civil War. Bo, are you with us?
I am. On this frigidly cold morning, my car is reading at 28 degrees out right now, so it's pretty exciting. You know, I was amazed that it started.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. Well, you have you had these plans for a while to attend this game, and what side are you rooting for?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm rooting for the good guys, Kevin. You know, as well, you know, we're rooting for the Ducks, and no, I was lucky enough to have an opportunity to get tickets to this event, and the plan was to go today after the show, but then you know, had a little trouble locating my keys among the turkey and pie and different things that I had, you know, this week. I think it just muddled my brain, and so
very good. Well, with the Ducks losing in Arizona State, that didn't help the time slot either. I think everyone was expecting an afternoon game, but you know, got to roll with the punches.
Right. Got to roll the play. Exactly. Well, I'm taking my 9-year-old son down, so we're making it a weekend thing, so it should be fun.
Hey, very good, very good. Well, we do want our callers, our listeners, to call in 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011 with your tax or your investing questions. And Bo, it's been a fairly quiet week in the markets. Any good news from your side of things here this week?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So we had a little, you know, a little bit of a dip yesterday, you know, just to close out the month. But even with that, it's been the best month. You know, it's sort of funny. You hear there's always it's been a best month since this time or a best month since that time. And really, it's been the best month since June. So super far along time in the past. But the market just continues to swell up. And I think, you know, the really interesting thing is, and I know Chuck made his bold prediction of double-digit returns again for 2020, and I think that has a very real possibility of happening. With the, you know, the data that comes in, there's all this noise in the market, right, where we have the impeachment process and, you know, different various and sundry things going on in Washington, and we have the tariffs and the trade war, and whether it's with China or with Europe. But underlying the U.S. market is really good fundamentals. Manufacturing numbers came back, and they spiked up. They were trickling down, and that was sort of a, you know, a yellow flag. You know, not a red flag, but a yellow flag for the economy, as well as a thing called housing starts, right? So it's a measurement of new buildings and new houses, you know, going up. And, you know, we've had a couple of callers that have called about it, and it really is a thing where materials are getting more expensive. I don't know if folks have been trying to look at getting something remodeled or redoing something in their house, or for me personally, it's been looking at getting some stuff done at the office, and construction costs are through the roof. And a lot of that has to do with those trade costs and different things. But even with that, we still have this new housing starts numbers that are up, which are both what are called leading indicators for positive movement in the market. So, you know, as much as I try not to predict what's going to happen, I think, you know, we'll have more, continue to have volatility. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, but I think that it still looks good, you know, for investing in the market going forward. And, you know, like Chuck and I always say, if you have a long time you know, if you're 10 years or more from needing to touch the money that you're investing in the market, volatility is good. When the market's down, especially when it's down big, that means it's on fire sale. It's Black Friday every Friday at that particular point, right, for your investments. So volatility is a good thing, and you just really got to keep plugging away and sticking to the strategy that you have.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've seen a lot of maybe I get the tail end of economic indicators, or maybe I'm in the middle of it. I'm not sure, but I see a lot of I see a cross section of a lot of businesses, a lot of industries, a lot of employees that are working for a lot of different businesses and industries. And I mean, it doesn't seem like things are slowing down. It seems like, you know, wages are increasing. It seems like businesses are having some pretty good numbers, maybe even record numbers. A lot of you know, big tax bills, a lot of forward tax planning, a lot of spending to try to get those tax bills down. So you know, seems like things are still humming along, and really no, you know, what do they call it? Unless there's a, you know, some sort of major event, you know, like a 9/11
right,
or something. You know, should be interesting to see where things go this next year. A lot of jobs available too, it seems like.
Oh man, I can't tell you how many times, you know, you're passing by, you know, just there's a Planned Pantry right around the corner from my house, and they're struggling to find somebody to work there. Not, you know, and that's not necessarily, you know, the career job that people are aspiring to, but it's a good job with good benefits, right? That's a good job with good benefits, and they can't find somebody to work it because there's just the levels of unemployment, and like you said, the businesses are reinvesting in their people, and it seems like, you know, there are jobs to be had out there, you know, if you want one, if you want to go get it, there is some place to go work. I think you're right. Not that we want to say, hey, you know, something couldn't happen, like, you know, knock on wood, something like 9/11, or just something else that happens in the market where, you know, you get some bad news, or Johnson & Johnson, for example, has another, you know, cancer thing, you know, where they're losing a giant lawsuit, or Facebook has an antitrust lawsuit. All these things, particularly in those really large companies, can drive that, you know, that S&P 500 number down because they're a big part of the S&P 500, but at the same time, if they're driving those down, then something else is pulling it up. And different than 2008, where we had the same sort of euphoria where people were thinking everything was really good, there's not that scare and that problem in the housing market that there was because they did a lot of regulation to change that. And companies also have a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Like there are, you know, big companies, these big blue chip companies that are just holding a lot of cash rather than being over leveraged. And so if there is a downturn, then they're taking that money and they're reinvesting in either stock buybacks or R&D or, you know, or hiring, like you're saying. You know, there's a lot of opportunity for those companies that are managing their money right.
That's right. I don't know if you got a chance to get out yesterday or not and see the shoppers and whatnot. I got out a little bit with my wife, and she made the comment that it didn't seem like there was a ton of people out, but we weren't out there at the crack of dawn, but I'm thinking more and more people are buying online. I mean, why would you go out and get into that mess when you can, you know, find the same deal online or even a better deal? In fact, I found something online, and I was near one of the big box stores, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just go pick it up there. And went in there, and it wasn't the same sale as was online.
Wow.
And so, you know, I just waited till I went home and ordered it there, and it was pretty straightforward.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially with Amazon, with, you know, 1 day or 2 day delivery, if you have, you know, if you're a Prime member, what, you just gotta wait a couple of days, right? I mean, I feel like that's kind of the way that things are going. Although, you know, I do have a client who, you know, has worked seasonally. You know, down in Woodburn in the outlet mall. So she said it was pretty crazy down there.
I bet.
The last couple of days. You know, people, I think, go more towards those outlets. And I, you know, on the way into the office yesterday, there was some pretty gnarly traffic on the Market Bridge, which surprised me because I thought, you know, most people have the day off. Well, not most people, but lots of people have that yeah. Friday after Thanksgiving off. So you'd think the traffic would be less. Plus, there's no school. So,
yep.
But no, it was pretty hopping. And she seemed to think that was a lot to do with, you know, with that Black Friday rush to the outlet malls or down south. And, you know, those stores still open at midnight on, you know, on Thanksgiving.
I know.
They're doing that. They're doing it for a reason, right?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Well, again, we welcome your calls, and Bo, you'll be hanging online for the show, or will
yeah.
you? Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good. So, yeah, absolutely. If you have an investing question or a tax question, give us a call, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. And just one final comment here, Bo, on this on the economy. I did see that. Home values across the nation have just this last month went up 2.1%. So even in the real estate side of things, you know, I've run into some circles where things are really moving along in commercial and residential real estate. So, you know, it's should be an interesting 2020, and, you know, how the presidential elections affect things one way or the other. You know, I'm sure that'll factor in, but you know, not a bad time to be looking to invest.
Well, as long as you have a plan, right? The strategy and a plan, and whether that's working with a, you know, a financial planner like myself, working with your CPA like yourself, you know, you have a plan for how you're going to invest that money, right? Don't just, we're not throwing darts at, you know, at balloons like a carnival game, but there's opportunity out there, like you said, and we'll have, you know, Michael Standard will be on the show in a couple of weeks. Can talk about the housing market and what he's seeing both commercially and residentially. But it certainly seems like there's a lot of opportunity going forward. Like you said, as long as you're smart.
Mm-hmm. Some of the circles that I run in happen to give me some exposure or knowledge a little bit to the South American economies, and I've always been interested, and I'm not invested there, but boy, like Colombia, you take a look at, you know, they've been in a civil war for 50 plus years, and if they can broker this ceasefire and get that taken care of and actually have safe transportation and commerce, talk about a resource heavy nation that could be an interesting investing opportunity for people. I'd be interested if our listeners have gotten involved in other foreign investments and what their investments would be, or if I know we have one caller that calls in and he deals in a lot of international trade and stuff, but anyway, we welcome your calls, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011, and we'll head to our first break, and we will be back with Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and this is Kevin Stege with Baker & Coulson. And as other nefarious folks have said throughout past history, I will be your host today. So this is your chance to call in, get your tax questions answered direct, or, of course, we do have Bo on the line holding for your investing questions. We do always want to say that this show is for our advice shouldn't be treated as direct legal, tax, investment, accounting, or professional advice, but I think it gives you a good idea where to go, where to get some answers, and get the ball rolling on your questions, because obviously we don't have the time to know all about the details necessary to give you paid advice, if you will. So,
it just gives you, we'll tell you what we know and what we don't know, and if we don't know the answer to it, then we can help get you started on the path to finding the right answer out, right? Like you said, with investing in specific areas, we're not telling anybody that something's right for them without knowing your specific situation, but we know enough to be dangerous, right?
That's exactly right. One thing I wanted to bring up today, especially as we're getting toward the end of the year and into year-end tax planning, year-end types of financial decisions that you're making, definitely consider whether your profile fits, whether you should use a qualified charitable distribution or not. And it's a no-brainer. If you're charitably inclined and you are taking the standard deduction on the federal level, you need to be given your charitable deductions from your IRA or your qualified account. I don't know if you can do it from a 401k. I don't think so. So probably from your IRA. And this is where you give your charitable donation directly from your IRA to the charity. It avoids going into income for you. Obviously, you don't get the charitable deduction, but you don't need it because you're taking the standard deduction. So year-end charitable giving, definitely look at going down the road of a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA. They're fairly easy to do. I happen to use the Schwab platform with my investments through work, and I have my IRA through Schwab, and very easy to do self-service, if you will, on whatever you need to do there, or at least you've got the contact numbers to call somebody. But I think that's a good road to go if the situation's right. And the benefit to this is by not bringing a required minimum distribution or an IRA distribution into your income, you're not raising your income that is going to affect how much of your Social Security is taxable. Now, if you're on PERS, chances are your max Social Security is going to be taxed anyway because it's usually a good pension. But if IRA distributions or 401k distributions are your main source of income and you can keep that down, a good benefit is keeping that income off your tax return. So,
yeah, absolutely. We've done a lot of those. It's a way, like you said, to have that charitable gifting. And the concern that's come up, I know you've dealt with it, I'm sure, is when with the new tax law that came into effect, was it 2 years ago now, where that charitable deduction may not play as big of a part in people's lives if they're not itemizing because of the big standard. It still lets you do that charitable, you know, have that charitable giving to support your church or the charity or, you know, or the vets or whoever it is that you like to support. And you can utilize that retirement money and get past that big bugaboo that is, well, now we got to take a taxable distribution and withhold the taxes and then donate it and then try to write it off, or just have it go straight to the charity. And the big key, you mentioned it, but it's worth repeating because I have come across issues before. If you're doing it yourself or if you're working with your advisor and they haven't done it before, is make sure that distribution goes direct to the charity, right? Because if it comes to them and comes into their possession, then it ruins that whole idea.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yep, for sure.
And then if you're making a headache for your CPA, that's just going to cost you more money.
That's right. Well, if we get a 1099-R with the taxable income on it, there's only one thing we can do with it, and that's put it on the return. And then, you know, if it's not correct, then you start trying to adjust from there. But boy, oh boy, if it is correct, you're pretty well struck out on the benefits of keeping that off of your tax return.
Right, exactly. Well, you mentioned something, you know, and I hate to interrupt the flow, but I had a client ask about this because I don't know if you heard, Kevin, so you're on the Schwab platform, and Chuck and I, our business, we custody our assets for our clients at TD Ameritrade. Mm-hmm. And you may or may not have heard, it kind of happened in the middle of the night, you know, about a little less than a week ago, but Schwab has agreed to buy TD Ameritrade.
Oh.
So, you know, Charles Schwab and TD Ameritrade, which are, you know, two of the bigger self-service platforms out there, as well as who custody for RIAs like Chuck and myself, who where, you know, advisors place their assets for custody. They are combining forces. As of earlier this week, they agreed to a deal. And I've had folks ask questions about what that's going to mean for those who are on the self-service platform like yourself, or people who are working with an advisor on one of the platforms. And, you know, I figured I'd answer that a little bit, at least for people that are wondering. And one of the big things is things going to change at least for 6 to 8 months. So that's the big thing is they both said, both Schwab and NTD have said, hey, we're not changing anything till the deal is all finalized in August of 2020. And, you know, they got to go through all the different, you know, rigmarole of making sure that they get past antitrust and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, basically the government's going to have its little fingers in everything, right, to make sure that they're doing everything above board. But the big thing is I can only imagine for the individual investor and for our clients, it's only going to be positive. It's all what I can imagine is going to happen. I don't know what the logistics may be for current TD customers. There may be some paperwork involved because Schwab is now going to, you know, own the overall company. But it's more of a merger than an acquisition anyway, because Schwab is doing what's called an all-stock deal. So they're giving stock in the new Schwab company for owners of stock in TD Ameritrade. Now, if you had owned TD Ameritrade stock about a week ago, you'd be super pumped because I believe it doubled in about a week after that deal. Now, I didn't, and I didn't know, so it wasn't like I was holding out on telling people. But they, it should be an overall positive thing. I think, you know, just as they combine resources and technology, and you have one of the bigger players in Schwab, they own about 50% of what's called the RAA market, so the custody market, and TD Ameritrade is about 11%. So they're going to combine, but there are still other players out there, and they're still not even combined. You know, people worry about getting too big to fail or getting too big to be, you know, nimble or available. But Vanguard and Fidelity and I believe BlackRock, I believe, are still bigger in terms of actual client assets and people that are, you know, utilizing those services. So it's not like they're becoming this big conglomerate that's going to come and steal your jobs. But I think it'll be an open for sure. If you use the Schwab platform or if you use the TD Ameritrade platform in the coming months.
Interesting. Well, you know, there's always that
concern. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, there's always that concern of, you know, a monopoly or something. But, boy, in you know, something like this where it's really just a service of, you know, providing a trading platform, especially at the low or no cost anymore, that they're doing them for, doesn't sound like that should be too much of an issue.
No, I think it'll be a real positive, particularly for the individual investor. Now, in terms of from, you know, my side as an advisor, you know, it lowers our choices, you know, that are available out there, taking one away, and that same for the investor, you know, that's, which is never a good thing if we have fewer choices, because it may reduce competition. But I think the way that both of those companies have really comported themselves as being very client friendly and very customer first, I think it'll only be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. Well, we welcome your calls, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. The tryptophan from the turkey must be getting to our listeners. Nobody's up this early, or they're all putting their war paint on for the Civil War. So
I scared them away talking about the good guys versus the bad guys. Probably.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to digress a little bit here before our next break, sure. And just this is my chance to give my opinion, and it's swayed a little bit by my dad, who is an engineer at Hewlett Packard. But you know, this college football bowl system, I gotta say, there is a 48 team playoff out there system that could work wonderfully, and it would make college football exciting again. And I just think the committees, and you know, it's like a Facebook like contest right now to see who gets in, and it's like a fashion show or a Dancing with the Stars. And I think football's a little different than that. And, you know, if you had a 48-team playoff and the first 16 teams get a bye and you have the other 32 playing, and boy, oh boy, talk about each, you know, they could still play at the bowl locations and each game would matter because the winner moves on. But as it is now, you know, whoever wins the Alamo Bowl, does it really matter? You know, if you win the Alamo Bowl in the Forest, did it really happen? So anyway,
no one's around to see it. Yeah, no, I agree. I think although, you know, a 48 team is really good for us, right? That's very aggressive. I think as a fan, I would love it, but you know, they're going to be like, no more. We don't want to play any more games. But I agree that the bowl system is silly because you get situations. You and I are Ducks, and you remember Royce Freeman a couple years ago decided he wasn't going to play in the bowl game because he had to protect his NFL future, and I don't blame him.
Yep.
Right? You don't blame him at all. But if it doesn't mean anything in those bowls, it's just kind of silly. They're making a lot of money for the institutions and for the advertisers, right? And obviously the bowl sponsors, but they're not making a lot of money for those kids. And if it doesn't mean anything, why are they playing?
Yeah, I know they could make so much more money if all of these games mattered and people were tuning in. I mean, I'd watch the Idaho Potato Bowl if the winner moved on. These guys are playing to move on. And here's the real litmus test: is try to explain to your child what the bowl system is for the first time and see if it makes sense. And and basically you'll be saying, well, son or daughter, this is a throwback system from the time when we used to bleed people to make them healthier, and when we thought the earth was flat, we also had bowl games. So anyway, there's my take, there's my 2 cents. But
I agree with you.
Yes, so we do have a caller. We've got Joe on the line. Joe's calling about charitable deduction to his church through his IRA. Joe, are you with us?
Yes, I am. The question is, I made a charitable deduction to my church through the IRA this year, and I plan to take the standard deduction on federal, but I itemize my deductions for the Oregon, and can that charitable deduction be included on my itemized deduction?
For Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's not. But you kind of get the deduction already because the distribution from your taxable IRA isn't included in income. So Oregon starts with the reduced federal income. So in a sense, you already got the deduction.
Yeah, I understand that. I was just thinking my church itemizes the deduction, so I have to subtract that from the total then.
If they include that as coming from you, that is correct. You would not want to double dip on that.
Okay, that was my question.
Okay, very good question.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your program.
Very good, Joe. Thanks for calling in, and hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you.
Bye. Okay, very good.
That's a good question. I mean, that, you know, if you're itemizing on state rather, is that pretty common where people are doing the standard on federal and then itemizing on their state taxes?
Very common. In fact, this would be an area that the state of Oregon could really do a service to its citizens to help follow up with simplifying the tax code or simplifying the filing, I should say. And that would be as if Oregon found some way to tax neutrally raise their standard deduction so that more people were not itemizing. Because as it is now, with the new federal tax law changes, many of our clients aren't itemizing anymore. And yet we're still having to tell them to keep track of their medical costs and, you know, each prescription cost and these types of things that are just ridiculous to do. And because you're still using them on the Oregon level. So they kind of need to revamp that. And, you know, it's no fall on Oregon, but the federal has given them a chance to, hey, if you were to make some changes and make it tax neutral, you know, I'm not trying to say, you know, cut taxes, but if they could do that, they would really simplify a lot of things, a lot of filing for Oregonians.
Sounds like that may be a platform for, you know, for Oregon treasurer.
Yeah, not happening. All right. Well, let's. With that, we'll go to our next break. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and again, we want your calls today, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011, and we have Beau out of the studio, but with us on the phone and in spirit, so give us a call, and we'll help you best we can. Today, on the Tax Investigator, I thought we would take a little bit of a... I tend to get a lot of my material either through things I've come across in my practice that I think are beneficial for my our listeners to hear, or obviously there's some pretty good articles out there. And on one particular article, which we'll get to here in just a moment after we take our next call, but this is a different side of accounting other than taxes, but we'll address that here in a second. We'll go to our next caller. We have Virgil on the line regarding a IRA conversion. Virgil, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Question now on the I've got some IRAs that I want to convert into a Roth, and like $10,000 this year and then continue next year until so I don't go into the next tax bracket. But if I do like $10,000 this year, would I face a quarterly tax hit if I just do $10,000 this year?
I see what you're saying. Are you meaning quarterly for the coming year?
Well, no, for this year.
For this year. So basically, when you do the conversion, it is probably nice to pay the tax in that same quarter. You can either have withholding done. Obviously, that reduces the amount that you'll end up converting because money will go into taxes to IRS in Oregon. Or you could, if $10,000 may not be enough to affect your tax hit too much, depending on your tax planning. But you could pay that with some outside money. On
that's what I would plan on doing. But I would just, if I took like $100,000, say $40,000
out, mm-hmm.
then I would pay the taxes on that. But would it face a bigger tax hit than normal?
I'm not sure what your exact question is on that. If you were to do $40,000.
Right, this year. Uh-huh. In this last month of the year, mm-hmm. would that hit be like a quarterly tax hit, or if I just pay the taxes right when I take it out?
I see.
Convert it?
Either way, it's the same thing. It's taxable in the quarter that you take it out.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's good because like next year I'll be probably doing it monthly, like maybe $3,000 a month, mm-hmm. and doing the taxes right then.
Okay.
So then I wouldn't be facing any extra additional tax hit.
Yep, that sounds very good. And one benefit to, paying the taxes through the IRA and having the withholding taken out, the silver lining is that withholding is considered as if it were paid in throughout the whole year. So if you were to do your $10,000 here right at the end of the year and actually have withholding taken out, when they go to calculate any underpayment penalty, if you, you know, you can annualize your income, which helps reduce the penalty, but the withholding is considered as if paid throughout the whole year ratably. So that's kind of one way that you can manage your penalty a little bit, but it's just a small silver lining.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, very good, Virgil. Thanks for the call.
It's a common question I get a lot, Kevin, and maybe just to clarify what Virgil was talking about, and maybe just to clarify what he was thinking, when you're taking it during different points of the year, does that make, like, if you're not withholding at that point, like you described, if instead you're going to pay it on a quarterly estimate, it's not a, you don't get penalized as long as you're paying within the same quarter, right? So if, hypothetically, if he's taking out, hey, I'm taking out $10,000 to convert this month, he makes sure he pays that quarterly estimate on January 15th, he's not necessarily going to get a pen. I mean, again, you can't speak specifics to their situation, but in general, yep, that would be, it's either withhold out of the actual conversion, or by the next quarterly pay the estimated tax that would have come from that increase in income, and then you're not getting penalized, right? You still have taxes, but you're not getting penalized.
That's exactly right. You just, when income happens, try to make sure the taxes are paid during that quarter. It all does depend on your other tax situation. You may have more withholding or less withholding from a job. You know, sometimes we'll have somebody have adjusted their withholding at their job, and it'll be way down and won't have been corrected. And all of a sudden, you know, they were under withheld there, and now they do a regular Roth conversion, and there's more income, and they didn't have taxes. The underpayment penalty can creep up fairly quick.
Right, and it can get pretty high, right? So it's something you want to make sure you're coordinating. I guess, you know, the gist of that is make sure you're coordinating with your tax professional to make sure you're withholding enough, because that happens a lot, especially in the state of Oregon, right, with the new tax changes on the W-4. I've come across that a good deal.
That's exactly right. This last year when they adjusted the federal tax tables down for the new tax law changes, then people, even without changing their W-4, their withholdings went down, and they were a little surprised. You know, that's where people were thinking, oh, hey, the tax law changes didn't work for me, but you actually took home more money during the year. So,
right, on accident.
Yeah, on accident. Exactly right. 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. And this is a little bit of a lighthearted look at some of the things that go on, but you know, you read some of the articles, and the ones that catch your attention are some of the more glamorous or nefarious events that happen in the accounting world or the tax world. And this one here happens to be uncovering bribes hidden in the books and records of businesses. And this was an interesting. You know, people a lot of times ask me, well, you know, where should I classify this business expense or this, you know, what should we call it? How should we present it? And that's kind of what this article was addressing. And it was talking about some of the businesses that had been caught or people convicted for bribes to influence, you know, legislation or, you know, help their business, you know, as if these things never go on. Legal bribes, you know, we call those lobbyists, but that's right. But these would be the illegal ones. And it's kind of interesting. Some of the in these cases, they put down what they were classifying these expenses as on their books, because as we all know, you know, Al Capone was he didn't go down for all the bad thing, the real bad things he did, like murder. He went down for tax evasion. You know, that's what they got him on. So if at least these companies knew to put these things down on their books and try to, you know, at least report them and try to, you know, have a tight set of books. But here's some of the labels that were given illegal bribes on their books. One firm called them, they called it charitable donations. So, you know, I guess that could be. Another one called it clinical trial and consulting fees. Another one was arts and crafts. I can't imagine a corporation having the arts and crafts expense. One called it, obviously gifts and entertainment. One put it under executive gifts, hospitality packages. Here's a good one, sponsorship of cultural events. So I guess that was probably a foreign bribe or something. Here's another one, success fee. This is our success fee expense. So that's I thought that was a creative way to put it. Here's a influencer fee. And then our last ones here are customer rebates, distributor discounts, or distributor allowances. So there's your creative book cooking class for the day on what to call things.
Or what not to, because it's a red flag. The IRS already knows.
This is true.
If you weren't taking notes, download the podcast and take notes on there. These are not the terms to term your legal bribe.
That's right. Or miscellaneous expense. No, actually, I like miscellaneous expense, because if you know you can't find a place to put it, it's an easy way to put something and move on. So I don't think the IRS particularly looks at some of these labels. I think they look more at the dollar amounts, and I do know they use programs for, they know what industries, you know, how much cash should come in for a particular industry, and they know what your credit card charges are for income. So, you know, they do have ways to be able to just run general analysis on your business tax returns. You put down the industry code that you're in, and they're able to even do this by region. Some regions, you know, have, you know, more or less certain types of expenses for certain types of businesses. So, I think that's all good use of technology for compliance. And if, you know, something's out of the ordinary, or the numbers don't look right, or, you know, there's a business that's usually brings in a lot of cash, and this business tax return is only showing income, the amount of their credit card charges, well, you know, they might might get flagged, and an auditor might want to take a look, and you get that infamous letter coming in the mail. So I think it's a good use of technology. So
and it's not, you know, most of the time I feel like those are probably businesses that are trying to, you know, hide a lot of money. Like you said, it's not Joe's Mart down the street that accidentally mislabels something. They're not coming after the mini mart that accidentally says a distributor discount that is actually a discount, or it should be a cost of goods sold, or it just was accounted for wrong.
Exactly.
These are bribes that are being given to different situations that they are then writing off as an expense.
Yeah.
Right? So it's
exactly right. Exactly. Well, Bo, hold on for one more break, and we'll get back to our last segment. You're listening to Investing Simplified, and we'll be right back.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future, and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
This is Investing Simplified. I'm Kevin Stege, CPA with Baker & Coulson, and Bo is on the line with us en route to the Civil War, and we do welcome your calls. Get them in while you can, and hopefully not at the end because we can't take you, but 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. And Bo, do you have any prediction for today's game?
You know, I worry about that because I had a prediction for last week's game and it didn't go well. So I'm just hopeful that, you know, that we have a good showing. The Bees have looked a lot better of late, and we have been trending downward, and they've been trending upward. So, it worries me a little bit. I'm hoping for a good game.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping for the Ducks to pull out a victory. That's what I'm pulling for.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. It should be a good game, and, hats off to Jonathan Smith and what he's done there down in Corvallis. And, of course, Oregon has had a very successful season. I've never overly liked the Civil War because I like the Beavers and the Ducks a bunch, both of them. And I know some people don't think that's possible, but I didn't go to either school, but I grew up in Eugene and Corvallis, so let me have my opinion, right?
So. Yeah, well, you've got ties to both. Well, I grew up a Beaver fan, and then I went to school at Oregon, so that's what, people say, well, how could you have done that? And well, they had the program that I wanted, and, so I went down there for that, but it's easy for me to, I root for all Oregon schools, right? So I'm with you.
Yep.
I want the Beavers to win every game except the Civil War, which makes the Civil War sad for me because I'm rooting against the team that I really root for, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, it's still pretty fun to get down to Austin and watch a game and, go down with my boys, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, I wanted to give a little bit of information to our listeners regarding small businesses. And some of our listeners, a lot of my clients, and pretty much, a lot of people at some point in their life have a little business that they're starting. Maybe they've grown a hobby that now is not a hobby anymore. It's a profitable endeavor, or you're trying to kick off and do something on your own. Maybe you've worked your career and you're ready to leave working for a company and start off on your own. And there's a lot of information or questions out there regarding, how you should keep your books. And there's a number of different ways to do that. And I thought I would just talk a little bit about kind of the main name that's out there, QuickBooks. But there's a number of programs that are similar to QuickBooks that are going along this line. And the landscape is really changing, whereas you used to go and purchase a desktop version of QuickBooks, say $200-$300, or you can get it industry specific for your industry that can help give you a few other features there, and that would last you 2, 3, 4, 5 years, sometimes even more. But with the cloud and the online platforms that are out there now, in QuickBooks' case, it's called QuickBooks Online, there is a feature that justifies the additional cost. And I thought I'd just briefly explain that. And that is what they're calling, at least in the QuickBooks platform, Direct Connect. And in the past, you used to be able to, on the desktop version, you would manually download your transactions and classify them. That was really the most efficient way to get your transactions in. Before that, they did the downloading of transactions, you'd have to enter them all in, and that would take a lot of time for credit cards and bank transactions, and then do the reconciliations. But now, with QuickBooks Online, whereas, you know, you're looking at like $50 a month, you're looking at $600 a year as opposed to, you know, $200 to $300 for, you know, several years or more. The main feature that it offers is what they call this Direct Connect, and that's where you connect your bank account and your credit card account. And when you complete a transaction, it actually populates immediately into your QuickBooks. And you do have to still, at least initially one time, classify that expense. But once it knows where an expense goes, it will suggest that in the future. And it's pretty quick. And so really you're almost reconciled right there with your bank and credit card accounts, which is very important to have those reconciled each year. But, you know, for $600, you're kind of taking the place of the low end part of a bookkeeping job. You still need somebody to adjust your year end books and do, you know, record loans and, you know, asset purchases and that type of a thing. But it really is a time saver, and it's probably the way to go. It's the way that things are going in the future. You know, distributed ledger, what do they call that? It's escaping me. Anyway, I'll think of it. But it's the way things are going, and it's really not a bad feature to have. So if you're looking at setting up a legitimate small business and you do need a set of books, look at some of the online features, and I think the extra cost is worth its while.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Kevin, I can speak directly to that, having a small business, right? And we're, you know, organized as an S-Corp, so we have to keep a set of books, but I think you'd suggest, and, you know, most accountants I talk to would suggest, even if you're not required as an S, you know, if you're a single member LLC or just the sole proprietorship, you're not required to keep a set of books, right? You just have to have a profit and loss. But it helps, right? It just lets you know where you're at. But I use the QuickBooks Online, and I think you can actually get started for about $20 a month for the first year.
Okay.
They give you a discount on the first year, as far as I know. Life-changing in terms of not having to do it by hand. My bookkeeper thinks it's just great because it's a lot easier than the desktop version. It took her a little while to get used to it, right? Because
yep.
People are used to the desktop version, but it saved her time, and then she doesn't have to bill as many hours working on the stuff that, like you said, the lower-end menial just data entry stuff. It can take care of that for you.
Yep, that's exactly right. And the word I was looking
for. We're not paid by QuickBooks.
No, we are not. And that's there are some other very good programs out there that are similar online platforms. So you really just find what meets your need. And I do recommend blockchain technology. That's the word I was thinking of.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a good way to go. You can check out your financial info anywhere you've got an internet connection. And it's a pretty good thing. So. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. We thank you for listening. I'm located at 2414 Northeast Division at Baker & Coulson. I'm one of the shareholders there, and we've been there for 40-plus years. We've got 8 or 9 CPAs on staff, or at least getting back to that level. We've got a couple people coming up that we're about ready to license. We specialize in taxes. We don't do financial statement audits. We do tax audits, but we don't do the level of where you're auditing someone's books. But we do reviewed financials, compiled financials, nonprofits, construction, real estate. We do a lot of industries and a lot of individual taxes. So if you need help this tax season, feel free to give us a call. And we're located on the web at baker-coulson.com. And Bo, how can somebody get a hold of you for investment advice?
So if you're thinking about getting started, if you want some investment advice, if you want a free comprehensive second opinion, just the worst case scenario is it, you know, takes an hour or so of your time and have another professional tell you you're doing a great job, give our office a call at 503-253-3000 or visit us on the web, tfgwm.com.
And do you have any seminars coming up or any events that you have on schedule? I know you've just got done with a few.
We just got done with a Social Security workshop, which was super popular. Got some good info out there. We're going to be doing another one here towards the end of January, so we'll keep you posted.
Okay, well, very good. And thank you for listening to Investing Simplified. And we will be back next week. We will again have our estate planning attorney with us, I don't know, next week, but coming up. And we'll also have the mortgage makeover with Michael Standard. And so we look forward to you tuning in, and enjoy the Civil War, and have a happy Thanksgiving weekend.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Investing Simplified.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.